The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is that the longest pause between rings we've ever
really
heard?
Yeah, it really felt like it.
Calling Chewy right now, by the way.
Your call has
he's bleeped off.
he hit the
bleep off button.
He really did.
Let's try one more time. If you call twice, maybe he'll think it's an emergency.
Yeah. Jerry, my hair dryer ruined the picture. I know I need another one or I can't get back into the Forbidden City.
Who is this?
Jerry!
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You guys have to talk while I do it, though.
Oh, I thought we were already ready to go.
No, just to have the awkward silence? It's more fun to have the awkward silence. It's definitely more on brand to have the awkward silence.
Awkward silence on radio is never a good thing.
Is he going to answer angrily?
Your call has been forwarded to...
You know what? I respect it. Only once this time.
God, Chew. Come on. Come through, man. I had so much more faith in him that he would answer.
Why?
Well, first of all...
Stop.
Yeah. Jerry! The Japanese guys had sake in the hot tub. You gotta get them out of the drawers and get them down here. I don't have a focus group to sell the pilot the Japanese TV.
Uncle Leo?
Jerry!
All right, I'll wake him up.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it.
Well, I made it. Just barely, though.
Oh, Jen.
The open of the show was rolling as I was walking into the studio this morning.
I mean, Chewy's used to that because Craig used to do that all the time on Sunday.
Really?
What actually made you think I would answer the phone? I am not as think as you dumb I am. I knew it was you.
The whole time?
Number one. The control booth here would pop up because I was in my truck. So it pops up on the screen and it would say ESPN, which I knew would be Ashton, which I was going to ignore also.
That's fair.
In case you were wondering.
Thank you.
But I was driving. I'm like, the Milwaukee number shows up and I'm like, look to my wife. And I'm like, is that you? And she's like, nope. Because both of our phones were in
the
my
car.
Truck
okay.
picks up. She's like, no. And then it dials right back. Ignore. Ignore. Ignore.
But you knew it was us the whole time.
Of course I knew it was you the whole time.
But I tried to explain to her. I tried. It's been a year. I don't know why her expectations of you are different than me and Ashton.
Yeah. I assume that because it was our anniversary.
You think he knew?
Which I had no idea.
Exactly. So we were going to let you know. In fact, we were going to sing the anniversary song to you. So now we have to sing the anniversary song from yesterday right now.
Happy anniversary.
There you go.
That's all we wanted to do yesterday. I am very curious, though.
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where did you think we would be as far as still on the air 1 year later?
Pretty much right where we're at.
I mean,
no?
Before we even hit day one, Jen comes on, she's hanging out with us, did like an hour of radio, and she had to be bleeped. Like, she cursed within 10 minutes
but
of
that's
the three
a good
of us doing it together.
Because at least I sat there and went, all right, this is going to be good. This is, might work. This actually might work.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, it is good to have you back. We're happy that you're here. Obviously, yesterday was cut day in the NFL. You missed that as well. I just assumed that you were mourning all of the NFL players who are now on the unemployment line, in the unemployment line. And there was other news out of Green Bay yesterday, and it has to do with our pal, David Bakhtiari. I wouldn't call this great news, but I also wouldn't call it horrible news. I think we all kind of saw this coming because it's an ACL injury, right? Like, you knew that it was going to take a long time for him to get back to full speed. So yesterday it was announced that the Packers are keeping David Bakhtiari on the PUP list into the season, meaning he will miss the first 6 weeks. And I think I heard Jason yesterday saying on Wilde and Tausch that that's not just 6 weeks, that that's when he can start practicing again.
Correct.
So it will actually be longer than 6 weeks.
Probably.
So what is your level of panic this morning that David Bakhtiari will miss at least 6 weeks of the NFL season? And we could go to our old standby, the Seinfeld scale of concern. We've got yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada.
We've got, you look a little stressed.
You look a little stressed.
Oh, I'm stressed.
And we've got, I'm freaking out.
I'm freaking out! I am freaking out!
David Bakhtiari out for at least 6 weeks in the 2021 season, Gabe.
To me, this is a yada, 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 because it was
yada,
expected.
Yada, yada, yada.
Like, even if he comes back and he starts practicing right away, that's only 9.5 months. He tore this thing on December 31st. He tore it on New Year's Eve. For him to turn around and be ready for the opening of the season seemed unrealistic. And the fact that he did, like, nothing in terms of team practices or anything like that, just kind of all pointed throughout the course of training camp that he was not going to be ready for the start of the season. So I wasn't expecting him. Like, this team, to me, made the most sense to put him on the PUP and make sure that he's ready to go by the time he comes back.
I am, what's the middle one, stressed?
Stressed. A little stressed.
And it has nothing to do with Bakhtiari. We knew there was a pretty good chance that he was going to be put on PUP. It has everything to do with the center, and the fact that Aaron barked at him last week gives me a little bit of stress. Because, look, schematically, they're going to be starting two young kids next to one another, right?
Not just young. Well, next to each other, they're starting two rookies, likely,
yes.
Right?
That is because you can do things schematically if you're a defense to move guys around and put your best players where you can put those two in a bind. And believe me, they're going to do it. Now, if they had two veterans next to him, then you're okay. You can tell one of the guards to help him out. This
like
is going to be a little more difficult.
Corey Linsley. And they had two guards next to him.
Yes, exactly. Because you can help. Well, it's tough to help when you have two rookies next to one another. You know? I mean, you can do something to swallow up if their best guard is going to be Patrick, right? You can swallow him up where he can't help. You can't help. You can't. Right? And then it puts a bind on the other two. So this is, I'm telling you, people should be a little stressed.
Are you more concerned about the center position or the guard position? Because you mentioned the kid, Josh Myers, at center, who Aaron Rodgers barked at last week because he said, like, hey, the clock is ticking here, right? We're running out of time for you to be a rookie. Yes, you are literally a rookie, but you got to start playing like a vet. And so you've got him at the center position. Royce Newman is at guard, right, Gabe? He plays at guard.
Right guard.
So are you more concerned about the center position or the guys they have at guard?
Well, the center position has changed a little bit since I left the league because not a lot of teams played 3-4. The Steelers played 3-4. The Carolina Panthers played 3-4. Now the league is predominantly 3-4. And what that means is most times your center is covered, right? Which makes it tough for a center. Center back in the day against a 4-3, Frank, we'd always rip on. I'm like, what do you do? Like, how can you block help on the three technique and look at the linebacker and tell me what coverage it is? You're overpaid, Frank. You know, but now it's tough, you know, because you can't get the help and schematically you can do things to put young players in a bind. And we went through it because I remember Adam Timberman, you remember the name.
Yeah.
Timbleman as Reggie.
I don't know for you, Timbleman.
His real name was Timmerman.
Yeah.
By the way,
for the record.
Yeah. For the record.
She's getting a little bit ridiculous.
Didn't know that was a word.
You were questioning Reggie.
I don't know if you're allowed to talk in that space.
you and Reggie had some really good conversations using not words.
Just a foreign language.
Usually for me started with Mr. Mr. White, please don't hurt me. But they're going to do things schematically to put them in a bind, and we'll just have to see how they handle it. But right now, with Aaron barking at him last week, I'm a little stressed.
800-990-3776. Where are you this morning on the David Bakhtiari news? Obviously, we knew that it was going to be a long road to recovery for David Bakhtiari. I did see this morning from Jim Nagy, who is the guy who is in charge of the Senior Bowl. And he said on Twitter, quick story from the 2021 Senior Bowl. Ran into Ole Miss offensive lineman Royce Newman's mom and grandpa in the hotel lobby after the Senior Bowl. Nice farming family. His mom asked me,
he's a farm boy.
Do you think Royce will get drafted? I replied, of course. Convicted about the fourth round grade we had given Royce. In a time when seemingly all parents think their kids are more talented than they really are, there was something incredibly refreshing about her uncertainty about her son's talent. 7 months later, Newman was the Pro Football Focus highest graded non-first round offensive player in the preseason and will start week one. We've got Brian on the line. Brian, good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good, and I think that's how the Packers are. They're not thinking they're doing pretty good, but I think they're okay.
It was known
that this was probably going to be the case, and it's never good to say that a hurricane can help us, but we're not now not having to play in front of the New Orleans Saints fans, and it could be where actually it ends up being almost a home game for fans for the Packers, so they're going to get to go through week one with not having to do silent counts. They're going to be able to have almost somewhat of a normal walkthrough game type deal instead of having to face that away crowd. So I think that's going to be one big benefit that's really going to end up helping this team. And LaFleur and the offensive masterminds have had time to be able to game plan for a little bit of maybe some deficiencies on the interior. That's just my take on it. Happy Wednesday.
Well, that's positive.
Thursday, Friday, who cares what
that's
day
positive,
is.
But you're losing two all-pro players off of last year's offensive line.
Yep.
A little stressed. And I'm sure the coaching staff is a little stressed.
And listen, I want to be very clear, guys. You never want to sit here and go silver linings of a natural disaster that has displaced a bunch of people and knocked out the electricity and wreaked havoc over a city and community. But there is a benefit, as Brian alluded to it now being a neutral site, the Packers game versus the Saints, because the Saints obviously had to move out of New Orleans with Hurricane Ida making landfall. We are getting some reaction on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. That number, of course, 800-990-3776. We want to hear from you. Tim weighing in saying, yada, yada, yada. We knew this was going to be the case. While Ryan Maguanago says, I'm stressed because the protection of AR-12 is greatly diminished without him and all of the shuffling the season goes as AR-12 goes, which seems like he's more in line with Chu, what you're saying, because obviously the offensive line having to move those guys around. Look, I always think that the success of an offensive line, and this isn't always the case, but most often is about continuity. It's about the number of reps you get to take together. When you look at an offensive line that has success and you look at how long those guys have been standing there in the trenches next to each other, it's almost always because they've been there and worked next to each other for a lengthy period of time. Now, again, not always, but this team just doesn't have that. They don't have the continuity. They don't have the reps next to each other. Guys are still trying to figure out where they're going to be for the opening week, and I do think that causes a little bit of stress. I'm not freaking out, but I do think that it is a little cause for concern, so I'd say I'm a little stressed.
I look a little stressed.
Oh, I'm stressed.
About the offensive line right now, but where are you? Use our Seinfeld scale of concern this morning to let us know how you're feeling about the offensive line as the Packers creep a little bit closer to week one, taking on the New Orleans Saints now at a neutral site. 800-990-3776 is that number. We'll be talking about that all morning long. But before we get to that, Great Midwest Bank puts its focus on the needs of customers and the community instead of its shareholders. That means they have more flexibility in the loan options that they can offer you, the customer. Their common sense approach to lending offers more flexibility in the loan options that they provide, which means that they can sit down with you, listen, and take the time to understand your situation inside and out. You know what that means? If they understand where you're coming from, if they understand what you're dealing with, they can obviously cater a loan to those needs. Great Midwest Bank also examines each loan application case by case. They're happy to work with customers in unique situations to find a loan option that is the best fit. And if you think that that is you, that you're in a unique situation, don't hesitate to reach out to my friends over at Great Midwest Bank. Here's how you can get a hold of them. Just go to their website, greatmidwestbank.com, greatmidwestbank.com. They're your and my Simply Local Equal Housing Lender.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's quite intimidating. The picture I wanted to use of Chewy was so good.
He looks like such a doofus.
He is a doofus. He looks like he is a doofus.
I think he has gotten better looking with age. Like, he's a good looking dude now. Not that he's, you know, unattractive in this picture. He just kind of looks like a doofus.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I was very gentle and patient early in camp. And there has to be a switch because we get a little closer. It's important that he feels the urgency in my demeanor moving forward, especially with potentially, you know, a young person playing next to him. We need him to play more like a veteran and not like a rookie.
And that becomes even more apparent as the news yesterday comes out that David Bakhtiari will be out for at least the first 6 weeks of the season, which, again, Gabe has referenced. We kind of knew that, right? It would have been a major miracle if he was back and ready for the first game of the season, right? Even for the second game, even for the third game, because of how late last year that injury occurred.
Even if the Packers kept him on the initial 53, Bakhtiari was going to play next week. Or the week after, or probably the week after that. Like, it would have been less than 6 weeks as it stands right now, but it's not like he was going to play the first two or three games. You know, it was going to take still a little bit of time for him to get ready since he really didn't do anything during training camp.
Okay, now listen, I know that it is typically you fall in line with what the Packers do, Gabe, but do you think at all they are regretting getting rid of Corey Lindsley right now? Like, maybe a tinge of...
Where are you getting the money? Yeah, where are you getting the money? Like, I have no idea where you're getting the money.
I mean, it was pretty ballsy not to go out and get at least a guard who was kind of proven. I mean, that's rolling the dice, starting two rookies side by side.
Yeah.
Week one. I mean, and it may work out.
I don't know if that was initially their plan. I think the initial plan was Lucas Patrick would stay at right guard because he played there, started 15 games there last year, and then John Runyon Jr., who played a little bit last year as a second-year player, would take that left guard spot with Elgton Jenkins getting kicked out.
Yeah, but, see, I wouldn't be as concerned if it was center tackle. Center rookie, tackle rookie.
You're annoyed that it's next to each other.
Next to one, because there's things you can do, like I said, schematically, to just take advantage of that situation where... Look, in preseason now, more than ever, is vanilla, more vanilla than vanilla.
Yeah.
It is so vanilla. And no one plays, you know?
I still don't understand why we take out vanilla like the way we do, man. Like, there's nothing wrong with vanilla. It's an expensive spice. It's a fine flavor.
Yeah, but what do you put it in?
Everything that you bake, basically.
You don't know because you haven't brought any food in.
But he does bake. I mean, he posts pictures on Instagram.
I see him. He might be baking. I make pictures all the time. Crap up all the time. I don't know if he can bake. I have no idea.
I can confirm that he can bake.
I had a blueberry muffin.
I flew a plane this morning.
This morning?
Yeah.
What a busy day you've had. Oh, did you? I mean, it's a small enough plane. You might be able to park it out back.
I landed it right on Capitol.
This is interesting because yesterday in our group chat, I was telling how my husband doesn't believe that one of the guys at your gym wears ladies' underwear. And Ashton responded, "That's not fair. When does Chewy ever lie?"
Yeah, I got your back.
No, that is... Gabe, you saw my reaction when I was telling the story for the first time.
When Chewy came in...
I see it. I can see it. Purple satin Brazilian cut.
Yeah, that's...
On a man!
It's too specific.
How do I get that it's out way, of my like, head?
See? Like it's scarred in there. To see this look on Chewy's face the first time he told that story, you knew he was going to be scarred.
All right, well, let's move on, shall we? Because the national pundits have been also commenting on the Packers' offensive line situation. Let's take a listen to Mina Kimes from NFL Live.
I believe, by the way, that the Packers not having him last year in the NFC Championship could be the reason why they did not end up in the Super Bowl. And I think the offensive line could be what holds them back from making it to the Super Bowl this year. Like, and that, by the way, is less about the offensive line having problems and more about this team being so stacked. But when you look at the roster, it's the one group that stands out as having a lot of question marks. Now Bakhtiari's out. Sounds like they're going to slide over Elgton Jenkins to play left tackle, who, by the way, has been a phenomenal draft pick. And then you've got a youth movement elsewhere. Rookies like Josh Myers, the center starting, Royce Newman, the guard. This has been a very, very good group and a team that has a really strong history lately of drafting and developing offensive linemen. And the scheme covers it a lot, covers up a lot, and so does the quarterback. Sure. But that's something I will be watching very closely week one.
Can I just say, before we get into all the X's and O's and stuff that Mina was referencing there, I cannot ever remember that there's a G in Elton.
Yeah.
Ever. It's like the, it's like, oh, you didn't know that, did you?
Where's the G?
It's a silent one.
Right in the middle. Jenkins or the Elton?
Elton.
That's a fair follow-up question for me, though.
What was that line that Baker Mayfield used about the silent G, like lasagna?
Yeah, real G's moving silent like lasagna.
Yeah, that's the thing. We should be definitely adopting that for our guy, Elton Jenkins. Is she right? Is the offensive line, if you look at the team, because I think, Chewy, you've been on the defensive side of the ball when it comes to most questions.
Yeah.
Because of the new defensive coordinator, Joe Barry. Has the offensive line eclipsed your concerns for the defense? You just haven't seen enough from the defense yet, but that's been the side of the ball that you're like, what are they going to be like?
Well, I know where people go to then, right? They say, well, we'll just throw a bunch of three-step drops. Well, the defense knows that too. They're like, all right, let's play press with an inside shade to take away slants and things like that. I mean, it's just a trickle down, you know? It's just amazing how two rookie guards will trickle down all the way to the defensive back position. Coordinators aren't stupid. And if they are, they're not coordinators for long.
I mean, some are.
Yeah. So it's,
I mean, I can think of,
we go to
a
chess match here.
You know, there's a certain new offensive coordinator in a state north of us that, I mean, from some of the stories you've told me,
yeah,
this is at the college level, that, you know, we're going to find out how smart he is as a coordinator this weekend, aren't we?
Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean,
do you have any idea who I'm talking about?
Yes, Joe Barry Carroll.
No.
Okay.
I'm talking about your kid.
Ooh, yeah. He's calling plays this week. I started getting calls of upset stomachs about Monday. Well, what do you think? Hey.
He's nervous? Is that what you're saying? The butterflies?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
So, is it wrong that I kind of like it?
No.
Yes.
It is?
Nope.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, obviously,
yes,
I want him to succeed, but
yeah,
I want him
to. Yeah, that's obvious.
I want him to leave a couple trails in the pan. You know?
Why?
Because I had to.
That's like Chase being nervous about the first day of school today and me being like, good. You should be. It's a nightmare. What? No. You give him all of the stuff. Even if you have to lie, you just lied about landing a plane. You can't lie to your kid about how.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you want him to go through growing pains like we all had to do, walking the snow for 4 miles uphill going to school, right?
Yeah.
You don't want him taking the bus. I'm a schartenfarter.
Yeah,
there
I think that's more what it is. I think you're just a schartenfarter, even when it comes to people who you're related to. Mina Kimes not the only one weighing in on the offensive line. Here is what Dan Orlovsky had to say about who is the most important Packer after Aaron Rodgers.
It's a daunting task, and it's something I asked this question in the offseason about a month ago. Who's the most important person on the Packers roster outside of Aaron Rodgers? And Josh Myers was up there. And I really believe his performance attached to Royce Newman's is going to be a huge, huge key to their team's success this year.
Is he right?
Wait, what did he almost call him?
I don't know. He didn't know the last name Newman, it sounds like.
Which, by the way, for a show that loves Seinfeld as much as we have, the fact that we haven't gotten on this guy and just been like using him as kind of the unofficial official ambassador of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We're back in!
We? No.
I mean,
it's a little surprising.
But Newman is a foil. Newman is the bad guy. I don't want to be cursing out the young rookie. I want him to do well. I want to, on this show, have a, you know, kind of more of a nurture thing. Newman is always in negative connotation. There's a negative connotation in Newman.
But it could also kind of be like how we do Wilson with the drop from
Wilson.
Wait, who likes
Castaway?
Russell Wilson?
From Castaway. I love Wilson in Castaway.
Yeah, but nobody. But I mean, usually we use it because of Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, we could grab a Newman drop for Newman.
Well, when he screws up, you got to definitely go
Newman. Yeah, if he screws up, yes.
I think you're reading way too into it. I think you're splitting fine hairs here.
Ashton, when we started the show, never watched Seinfeld, right?
Correct.
So how do you come up with all the drops?
Google.
You're weak.
I Google, like, so what I do is if I have an idea for something I want to use, I Google Seinfeld and then my idea and see if anything pops up, and then I use the clips. That's, honest to God, that's what I do. You know what? In watching all the clips, good show.
That's a, yeah.
I can watch it every day. That's why everybody likes
the 11% of it that I've seen on YouTube. It seems pretty decent. Is Dan Orlovsky right? Is Josh Myers the next most important Packer after Aaron Rodgers? Because I think you could make an argument for Devontae Adams. I think you could make an argument for Jair Alexander. I think you can make an argument for a number of guys, but the conversation we're having today is all about the offensive line. And as the offensive line goes, that's how the offense goes. So is Dan Orlovsky right that Josh Myers is the most important Packer after Aaron Rodgers?
He's got a case from the standpoint of he could blow the whole thing up. Right? Because
yes.
Then where do you go? Where do you go? Right? I mean, who would be the next guy in line?
My guess is Lucas Patrick.
And then Runyon to left guard.
Hey, what's the deal with Runyon? Why isn't he starting?
Because Royce Newman looked better, and then they decided to do the competition over at left guard, and Patrick looked better.
That's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a position as the offensive line in a hole where they really can't have an injury to start off the season. Right?
Oh, God, please. Where's that bat? Grab the bat. Where's the bat?
An injury to tackle. Because Runyon played a little bit last year.
Right upside the head.
I would be more concerned if they had a tackle injury.
A left tackle injury.
Either one right now.
I don't feel comfortable talking about this. Can you please grab the bat? What did we do the other day where I had to knock on the wood? Oh, the trifecta?
Talk to me. What happened?
I don't remember.
I'm also lost right now.
Yes, you remember.
I remember talking about it, but I don't remember what you're talking about.
That's what it was. It was about how somebody had mentioned the trifecta, about the Bucks winning and the Brewers winning and the Packers winning, and so we knocked on the wood to make sure we weren't jinxing it. And now, as you guys talk vehemently about injuries to the offensive line...
We don't need a bat.
Get out of here.
Yes.
Where did it come from, knock on wood? Can you look at the origin of that?
I'm on it.
Anyone have any idea?
No idea.
It's got to go back. My guess is it goes back to some kind of ship. Vikings.
Oh, maybe.
Christopher Columbus.
You got any other people that fit? handled the ship?
Leif Erikson.
Is that the singer?
Of what?
No. Oh, that was Leif Garrett.
Isn't Leif Erikson a Viking?
Yeah.
That explains why I didn't know him. 800-990-3776. Couple things we're asking you this morning. Is Josh Myers the next most important Packer after Aaron Rodgers? And where are you on the Seinfeld scale of concern when it comes to your offensive line? Those options, again, are yada, yada, yada. You look a little stressed. I'm freaking out. Where are you? 800-990-3776. Let us know on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line.
Window Select is a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers. And I was just out at Window Select. I was talking with Justin. And now that we've finally hit September 1st, I'm so excited to talk about this. Because if you get Window Select out to your home and you get an estimate. And again, why wouldn't you get an estimate? It's an estimate. Because you get buy one, get one free windows. No payments for a year from a local Wisconsin-based company. But you can get two free Packer tickets for any free home estimate. That's right. Two free Packers tickets with any free home estimate. All you need to do is have Window Select out to your home for an estimate, and then you get two free Packer tickets. Limited supply, first come, first serve type of offer. But you don't even have to buy anything. Just have them out there. Have them out there for an estimate. You get two free Packers tickets for an upcoming Packers game on top of buy one, get one free windows, on top of no payments for a year, because Window Select, a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers. Mention you heard about the two free Packers tickets from me, Gabe, right here on ESPN Wisconsin. Call today to schedule that free home estimate, 262-703-3500, or go to their website at windowselect.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
In this instance.
You took my damn spot.
So if he's there today, will there be a throwdown confrontation?
Oh, you know me. No, there's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen.
Do you want me to come home with you so there can be a throwdown confrontation?
Yeah, actually, if you could fight my battles, I'd really appreciate that.
On 94.5 ESPN.
based on the soundtrack. We have an origin story for Knock on Wood, Ashton.
Well, I mean, Chewie's wrong. Put it that way. Chewie's wrong.
I didn't want to be right. Well, I didn't I really mean,
he was guessing.
Right.
He was guessing.
No, no. Yeah. You always want to be right.
It has been part of vernacular since at least the 19th century, although no one seems to agree exactly how it originated. It has to do with different religions, different races, knocking on something for good luck. Literally, that's it. It's just somebody one day was like, oh, better knock on this for good luck, and that's it.
It's a horrible origin
that
story.
That is horrible. Like, so I really don't lose there, because mine was
you know,
better.
We could adopt Chewie's version.
One common, this is according to history.com, so it's got to be real. One common explanation traces the phenomenon to ancient pagan cultures such as the Celts, who believed that spirits and gods resided in trees.
So I was close.
Jeff,
not at all.
In Elkhorn, no. Weighing in.
I didn't
in.
Hear anything about a ship.
No, but wood. He was talking about trees and wood. And Jeff in Elkhorn weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line, 800-990-3776. He says, releasing spirits from the wood, which I think is kind of what you just said, Ashton, right? Like when
yes.
you knock on it, it kind of...
I don't have a Jeff is right sounder, but nice job, Jeff.
Jeff in Elkhorn saying, I am the official, unofficial knocker of wood expert. And then he says, oops, wrong show. That's okay. We have official and unofficial things, like the official mm-hmm. unofficial payroll, which I try to put people on and then don't ever follow through on. JR in the car weighing in saying, what do we need to do to get you guys on the air in Madison? Ooh, appreciate the endorsement there, JR. He goes on to say, I don't think Newman is the next most important, which BTW, Orlovsky said that Myers was the next most important. So because if that position was that important, they would have paid Corey Linsley. I think that the chemistry is very important to figure out. I'm in the middle one on the nervous scale that D-Bach is out, and that one is.
Oh, I'm stressed.
Fortunately, we have a quality backup, and if I had to pick, I'd rather miss him for the first six games than the last six games. Good perspective there from JR in the car.
Could they have paid Linsley if Aaron was okay with it or no?
Yeah.
They could
have? Oh, yeah. I mean, but again, they would have had to extend Aaron.
Yes.
They would have had
But they
to
could have got it done.
Yes. At the expense of Jordan Love. Because you'd have needed to extend needed to extend Aaron, you know, well into the future to be able to spread out money, and then they could have paid Corey Linsley.
But that'd be the definition of all in.
Pretty close
to it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they're pretty much all in now. I mean, again,
but
the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, if they could have somehow gotten onto the same page as Aaron Rodgers this offseason. Like, yes, they would have been all in, but I feel like their cap situation wouldn't have been as hellish as it is and as hellish as it's going to be next year.
All right, maybe I'm going to sound like an idiot here, but what else is new? I thought that because the salary cap was going up because of all the TV money, the teams could essentially, if they could figure out a way to finagle the finances and handle with void years and whatnot, that you could essentially spend whatever you want because the money's going to be there a few years from now. Was I wrong to think that? Couldn't you have pushed money down the road for a guy like Corey Linsley?
You got to get to 2023, but you still got to be able to pay them. And, the contract that he got, I'd have to look up what his, his cap number is probably going to be small this year, but it's going to go up next
LA?
Year. Yes. And it's going to go up next year. And then, yes, by 2023,
but he got
that money.
Paid
oh, yes, he did.
For a center, and you typically don't pay centers a ton of money. He got good money.
Well, and Jason has talked on this program about
$62.5 million.
Yeah.
With 26 of it guaranteed.
Yeah, that's a lot.
He's got a cap hit of 6.6 this year and 11.6 next year.
I love that the biggest argument Gabe has to my position is, well, you have to pay the guys. Are you trying to tell me you can't just spit on your hand? We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. The old handshake. What was the line from Jerry Maguire? I'm still kind of moved by your whole... don't do the thing where it's just because it's a Tom Cruise movie and I claim to hate Tom Cruise.
My word is my bond.
Thank you, Chewie. I appreciate that. This guy over here wanted to give me a hard time because I reference another Tom Cruise
movie.
The only movies you ever reference are Tom Cruise movies, and yet you claim to hate him and his movies. It makes
so
no sense.
I can't stand him.
How good is Elton Jenkins?
Very good.
Then why do we pay David Bakhtiari?
He's very good.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying
because
either way. But if they don't pay Bakhtiari, they have Linsley back and a little bit more to spend.
I don't know how good Elton Jenkins is as a left tackle. He's very good.
Wasn't
as a guard.
LaFleur saying he's great? We have no worries there.
I mean, what else is he going to say? We're terrified about kicking out our potential Pro Bowl left
tackle.
I want to hear the truth.
Let me be real, okay? Crapping my pants a little over here, guys. Crapping my pants. You know what? We talked about Dan Orlovsky. We talked about Mina Kimes. But Marcus Spears does give a little glimmer of hope with the offensive line situation. Let's take a listen to that before we hear where you are on the Seinfeld scale of concern.
But the bottom line is this. Like, I feel more comfortable because Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. And if that wasn't the case, then I would be, like, going crazy. And we've seen this. We saw this happen with a lot of teams. We've seen tackles being lost, like Taylor Lewan when he was with Tennessee, and we saw some things change. Mm. And it was a difference in how they operated offensively.
That
but I believe
really
Aaron Rodgers will overcome this for a six-week period while Bakhtiari is out.
I feel comfortable that Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback.
Well,
woo!
So my example here to kind of further prove that point.
Keep it in.
Right?
The Seattle Seahawks offensive line has been garbage just about every year since they've won a Super Bowl, and yet every year they win double-digit games because of Russell Wilson. How come the same can't be true in Green Bay? Like, they can keep, even if their offensive line struggles at times because of Aaron and the other weapons they have offensively, they should be able to keep their head above water until Bakhtiari returns.
I still don't want Aaron scrambling as often as Russell Wilson does. I don't want him running for his life. And look, Russell Wilson, the biggest gripe he had when he wanted out of Seattle was, I'm tired of getting hit. Right? So, like, you're absolutely right. Like, they've had the double-digit wins game, but he, begrudgingly, right? That was his biggest point of contention with the team.
100%.
The offensive line sucks.
Yeah, but with that being said, I mean, we're so used to this offense putting up 30-something points, right? I mean, we can't go back to Aaron Rodgers and the offensive line while they scored 14. 14's not going to get it done, I believe, with this defense.
No.
They're going to have to outscore people. And then you add in, couple that with the fact that maybe an offense that's going to struggle a little bit early on and a defense who they say is a bend but don't break, let's control the clock, let's, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's less time for the offense to be on the field. I'm not panicking, but I'm just saying there are concerns here.
Where are you on the Seinfeld scale of concern? Yada, yada, yada. Oh, I'm stressed. I'm freaking out. 800-990-3776. Those are your options this morning when we talk about the offensive line, when we talk about David Bakhtiari missing at least the first 6 weeks of the season. And yes, we want to be optimistic. We want to be like, this team can figure it out. They've got Aaron Rodgers, the defending MVP, and they've got weapons out there on the offense. But the offensive line is obviously incredibly important to the success on that side of the ball. And you've got Bill Barnwell out here saying that the Packers could be one of the teams in 2021 to decline. We're going to get into that when we come back on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Chew, I know you've been through a rough couple of days here. You know, taking a kid off to college, the house is getting emptier, your wife's feeling a little sad, but I know a place you can go, try to pick up the spirits.
You are right, Gabe. You know what makes me happy? Flying my plane down to work where I can eat Ashton's muffin that he supposedly makes. I can also fly it to the jewelry center. Let's be honest, most guys don't have a clue when it. Would you get in a plane with me? No, if I'm flying it.
I wouldn't get in a car with you.
Okay?
I'd get in a plane with you, big guy.
Thank you.
I'd be your co-pilot.
Ashton, you're fired.
Play the I'm freaking out drop, okay?
I'm freaking out!
Most guys don't have a clue when it comes to flying a plane or buying jewelry. Gabe just got engaged and did the smart thing. He got his engagement ring from the jewelry center. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine things like my Super Bowl ring when it needs work. I'll be taking it to the jewelry center. They've got three locations to stop in. We're Ashton, Cooks, and Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can look through all the many styles of diamonds and other fine cuts at shoptjc.com. I am living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The jewelry center will make it happen in Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington, or online at shoptjc.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know, we didn't do the thing where you put all the appliances on a board and say, you got $15, build your team.
We're going to create one of those graphics like you see on Instagram and Twitter. It's like, hey, there's four rows. You get $5 to spend on this. And the $1 row is just like a dustbuster.
And a toaster.
On 94.5 ESPN. In my mind when she's not right there beside me, I go crazy because here is where I want to be.
I'm not sure what just happened over there between Chu and Ashton, but I'm pretty sure he called me fatty.
That was such a genuine laugh.
You're a burnt end?
Hey, happy National Burnt End Day, guys.
It's also American Chess Day.
Do you know how to play?
Yes.
Gabe?
Yeah, not well, though.
Baker,
I mean, I know what all the pieces do. I'm not going to win.
Yeah, ditto for what Gabe said.
Baker Ashy? I thought he was going to call you Baker Mayfield for a second. American Chess Day. No, I mean, in fact, I was thinking there's a player. It's the kid from Oregon. Kayvon Thibodeau is a really good chess player.
You know, is that the young kid?
Are you asking
that
or telling?
No, I'm telling you. Did I not sound convinced?
None of that was confident or convincing. It sounded like me.
So anyway, one of the features we've pitched is to sit down and play chess with him for one of our conversations as we preview an Oregon football game this year. Last night I watched a documentary, guys, on Bob Ross.
Oh,
Happy
I saw
Little
that
Trees,
on
Bob
Netflix,
Ross.
Yeah, the painter.
The painter, mm-hmm. Yes, okay.
Is there another Bob Ross?
Bobby Ross.
Who's that?
I'm out of here.
It's a football player.
You don't know what'd you just say?
It's a football player. Of course it is. Or a coach.
A coach. You don't know who Bobby Ross is. I faced Bobby Ross at Georgia Tech. Bobby Ross recruited me at Maryland. And I believe I beat Bobby Ross at San Diego and Detroit.
What makes you think that Jen would be watching a documentary on an old football coach that once recruited you?
I don't know.
He served as the head coach of the Citadel, Maryland, the Georgia Institute of Technology, and the United States Military Academy. Yeah, that's on my radar.
Does Bob Ross have great hair?
He did, but one of the things in the documentary is it was a perm. It was a perm. It wasn't his real hair. He would go and get it permed every month. I don't really care. I mean, I think it's great. It was a nice way of like separating himself. What, Ashton? You got your finger up like you want to ask
I have a
question
about the perm. Does having a perm make it not your hair? Explain a perm. I thought a perm was just they took your hair.
No, it is. But I just kind of assumed that it was his natural. He had natural curly hair. But it turned out that it was. In fact, the pictures of him from when he was young, he's very handsome. He's a very good looking man. And he has like a bouffant and he has like a pompadour. He was very into.
A what?
I don't know if that first thing is real, but I know the pompadour is.
Have you ever smelled a perm?
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Have I not told you my perm story?
No.
Who?
Oh, listening? No. Hold on.
All right.
Hold on. Before I tell the story, I have to call my therapist to make sure to schedule an emergency session after I tell this story, okay? Okay. So I was in fifth grade, and my mom got me a perm.
That's so awesome. All right.
And I looked like Little Orphan Annie. And I had glasses.
She had red hair.
Yes, I didn't have red hair. I had brown hair, but it was that kind of perm. Okay, you're picturing Little Orphan Annie.
Yeah.
And the start of the school year. So this makes sense because, again, Chaser wanted a new haircut for the start of the school year. We went and took him to the salon yesterday. Start of the school year, and I am doing one of the tasks, you know, where you walk from classroom to classroom and you collect attendance sheets. Okay. So I walk into, I'm in fifth grade, you guys. I walk into the seventh grade classroom and grab the attendance sheet from the teacher. And a kid from the back of the classroom goes, "Holy crap, look at her hair!" And I immediately started crying. Like it was like somebody flipped a switch.
Yeah.
Boom, crying. So then every day I would brush out my perm with a brush. Brush it out. Now, again, perms are expensive. Like I think it was probably like $60-$70 to perm my hair when I was in fifth grade. My mom was very disappointed in me, and I was very disappointed in her. So
a lot of disappointment.
Cuts both ways.
Do it. They still get perm.
Who?
When I walk in, I can smell a perm.
What do you mean? Walk in where?
Into the salon.
When are you going to the salon?
That's none of your damn business. But
it's too personal of a question, Jen.
Mother always got perms, and they reek.
Yeah, the
now,
chemicals.
Is it okay for guys? I think it is okay for guys to get perms.
Yeah,
I know a lot of guys that got perms.
Back in the day.
In the 80s.
Yeah, absolutely. Now nobody's getting a perm.
Would you like to name names on who got perms?
They were
players.
Massachusetts.
Oh, no, darn it.
Players.
That's right there we're going.
I don't think anybody gets perms anymore.
No, they do.
I mean, maybe old ladies.
Put down the poll.
Maybe little old ladies that go to the salon and get their hair permed. But I don't think anyone else is doing it.
Well, I won't say it. I'm going to say it. They put blue in the dye?
No, they don't. Why is the, what is the blue thing? What is the blue hair thing? We talked about knock on wood earlier, found the origin of that. What's the origin of the blue hair?
No idea.
No idea.
I'm on it.
Okay. Anyway, Bob Ross.
Oh, okay.
The story, you guys, somewhere. Yes. Okay, yes. Because again, now that I've gone through my trauma of revealing the, oh my God, look at her hair story. Really sad. Okay, you probably have walked into a Michaels or an art store or something like that, and you've seen the Bob Ross line of paints and paintbrushes and supplies. He never got any of that money, you guys.
Why?
There was a couple that basically had him sign over his name, image, likeness, if you will, to use a sports reference. And so his son, who was also a very accomplished painter, and his partner, his business partner, who also was teaching painting, they haven't seen a dime of the millions and millions and That's millions terrible. Of dollars that Bob Ross Inc. has made off of Bob Ross's success and his personality, because that was a big thing with Bob Ross. He was such a nice guy. Everybody loved him. He had this effervescent personality. It's part of the reason why the PBS show was so popular. But like, I feel bad because like, I own a Bob Ross t-shirt. Like, you know, his face on it says something like Happy Little Trees on it.
Yeah.
Anything that has his image on it, this other couple, the Kowalskis, get the money for. It's
wow.
It's crazy.
How much does a Bob Ross painting cost today?
Well, so that was another thing they covered in the documentary, is that a lot of the paintings that you may see are forgeries. Because when he would go out and teach painting, people would basically do the paintings.
Oh.
And sometimes they would leave them, and so they would collect them. And this one guy revealed that he saw someone after Bob Ross died, which BTW, the Kowalskis didn't want people to know that Bob Ross died because they wanted to...
It'd be more valuable, though, wouldn't it?
And they wanted to pretend he was still alive so that they could still
keep
sell the merchandise. So he saw a guy signing paintings with the Ross signature after Bob Ross had died. So that made him say, like, how many paintings are out there that are, like, not Bob Ross's that this person just signed and then they were selling as Ross paintings?
That is so weird that people screw other people over in today's world. That is bizarre.
Never hear of it.
You know?
I don't appreciate your tone. It was sad, though.
So
it's really sad.
Watch, a good watch?
It was hours.
I saw
30.
It on Netflix.
Yeah, it was sad. And you really feel for his family because they've seen no money. Like, Bob Ross is a household name.
Yeah, still. It was like Mr. Rogers and then Bob Ross.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, back to back.
Yes.
And then Zoom.
No, I don't think Zoom was on still at that point.
I think it was. PBS? Yeah.
No, you're the only one that thinks Zoom was like the cat's meow.
Zoom was.
No.
Zoom was the thing before Sesame Street.
I think you're thinking of Teams.
Good point.
No. Anyway, I highly encourage you to watch the Bob Ross documentary on Netflix. It was a very revealing and disappointing look into, you know, what eventually ends up being corporate America. So Chewy makes a good point. I'm not shocked that there was corruption.
I'm not hitting it.
There's not a drop for that?
Jen yelled at me last week when I got a little too...
She did?
I said, you make a good point. I didn't say that you were R-I-G-H-T.
It's kind of the
Chewy
thing.
Was right. Holy... Chewy
like
was right.
I swear. Still counts.
Just spell it out.
Gabe, what are you doing? Homework?
Well, Jen gave me homework.
Oh, okay.
Like a lot.
I mean, look at him. He's writing
his dissertation.
She gave
me homework.
He's doing a great job. Yeah. You be quiet.
Keep going, Gabe. Yes.
More Jen gave it Chewy right after this.